You're listening to Sound Effect. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and this week's show is all about second chances. And when you think about a second chance, you often think about it as an opportunity to basically set everything right. You know, it's a cure-all. If only I could do it over again, then everything would be okay. But sometimes those second chances are not so easy. You know, sometimes they're actually a huge struggle. And we're going to tell you a story right now that's like that. It deals with a terrible crime and a man who was wrongly convicted of committing it. And we should warn you, there are some difficult subjects that are discussed in this. KPLU's Ed Ronco went to Yakima to bring us the tale.
Ted Bradford's second chance began about 5 years after he got out of prison.
Hi, Ted.
Yes.
Ed.
Ed?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks.
We're at his apartment on a quiet street in Yakima.
I was telling Jolene, I was like, well, I hope he's not looking for a happy story, because it's... You know, the sad part is, the sad truth is, it's not always, you know, that easy.
Jolene is his wife. They've been married for a couple years now. She's in photos on the wall, which is decorated like any wall in any apartment. But on a table at one end of the small living room, right near the kitchen, is something you won't find in any apartment. A silver frame containing a court document.
The jury, having found the defendant not guilty on all counts in the above case, now, therefore, it is hereby ordered that the defendant is acquitted on all charges filed in this case.
It's not a lot of words for kind of a big deal.
Right. Yeah. It's a life-changing event, and that's why I have it framed, and it's in our living room on display.
Here's what happened. In September of 1995, a woman in Yakima was raped in her home. About 6 months later, police arrested Bradford on a different charge, actually, indecent exposure. But neighbors said they had seen a car like his driving in the neighborhood just before the rape occurred all those months ago. The police questioned Bradford and turned away an attorney sent by his wife. They said Bradford needed to request a lawyer himself. Hour after hour, they questioned Bradford, telling him that he was not leaving that room until he told the truth. After 9 hours, Bradford confessed. And he says that is the question he gets the most. Why would anyone confess to a crime they did not do?
They'll always say, well, I would never confess. Never. I don't care if they beat me. The only thing I could say is, well, you were not in that situation. You don't know how terrifying it was.
Bradford says the police told him they had DNA evidence that would prove he committed the crime.
I'm thinking, well, if they do test that, it's going to prove my innocence. So it doesn't matter what I tell them. If I give them this statement, you know, I'll be out of this situation.
But the DNA tests were inconclusive and could not prove his innocence. Still, there were other factors that might have given the jury some doubt. Bradford is much shorter than the attacker the victim described, and there's evidence that he was at work when the crime was committed. But still, the jury convicted him.
The confession evidence, I think, in their eyes, outweighed any alibi evidence.
At the time he was arrested, he had a stable job working at a wood products factory, no debt, a retirement plan, and was a married father of 2 young children, ages 1 and 2.
You know, I missed out on their first day of school, you know. So many firsts. I missed out on all those moments.
He would spend nearly a decade in prison.
And that's, you know, that's something that you can't get back.
Bradford eventually got help from attorneys at Innocence Project Northwest. It's part of the University of Washington Law School. They take cases from people who believe they've been wrongly convicted. In 2006, 10 years after his arrest and after he had already been released from prison, DNA evidence from the scene was tested again, and Bradford's conviction was overturned. Still, it would take another 4 years and a second trial before his name was completely cleared.
I hope you never have to experience what myself and other exonerees have gone through. Because, you know, it goes back to the people that ask me, well, why would you confess? I would never confess. Well, you were never in that situation. You don't know what it's like.
Bradford says he's thankful for the second chance that came with his exoneration, but it was not an instant return to the life he had before. The time between his release from prison and his exoneration was very difficult. He told employers that he'd been wrongly convicted, but the official documents still said otherwise. And then even after his record was clear, he had a job lined up, but he got sick.
The day I was supposed to go in to finalize everything, the night before is when I had this pancreatitis attack and was rushed to the emergency room.
So it's been hard. When a job application asks, for example, whether he's ever been convicted of a felony, he's legally allowed to check no on the form, but
there's still the problem of the gap in work history. You got to count the 10 years that I was gone, that I was locked up. No work history there.
He's still looking, if you know of anything.
Ted is a lovely human being. He is one of my favorite people.
That's Lara Zarosky, Policy Director for Innocence Project Northwest, the group responsible for Bradford's exoneration. In fact, Bradford was Washington's first exoneration based on DNA evidence. Zarosky says there's no way to know how many people are wrongly convicted without looking at every conviction that has ever occurred. Like, you know, ever. And that's impossible. So they focus on the cases they can. And they work to address the root causes of wrongful conviction. Things like faulty witness identifications and false confessions.
Really what it would take for us to stop doing our work would be a wholesale reinvention of the criminal justice system.
When a client is exonerated, the attorney's hard work is over. But for the exoneree, it's often just the beginning.
Once the case is resolved, the person is still there and has to be put back together. And there are no resources out there to help that person build their life back. So they're really left on their own to try to make that happen.
Like Ted Bradford. He tried to reconcile with his first wife, but they had grown too far apart, he says. He's remarried now. Bradford's two children, who were babies when he went into prison, are now 19 and 21. And he's having some luck reconnecting with them.
It's been awesome. My daughter comes over all the time, and she'll come over for dinner, and it's kind of funny because my wife says she's a jabberjaw just like me. But, you know, they're young adults. You know, now they're both out on their own. It's just the way life is. But, you know, people have their own lives to live, more or less. You know, I can't be selfish and hog them all to myself like I want to.
Missing out on their childhoods is one of the many things Bradford has worked to deal with in the years since his release from prison.
For a lot of years, I was angry. And, well, I still am it from time to time, but I deal with it more positively now.
Bradford keeps his guitar handy at home. He played a lot in prison and still plays in a band with other exonerees, including Alan Northrup, who served 17 years in Washington prisons for rape, kidnapping, and burglary before being cleared of the crimes by DNA evidence. They actually played together in prison, too, not knowing that the other one was also having his case re-examined.
You know, since I was a teenager, I've been playing guitar. And, you know, that's what gets you started to begin with, is that rock star, you know.
I want to grow up to be a rock star, play guitar in a band.
And so maybe this is my shot.
In the meantime, Ted Bradford just wants people to understand that wrongful convictions happen. And he wants people to know what happened to him. After all, Bradford says, one day most of us will be called for jury duty.
That was KPLU's Ed Ronco. He was talking with Ted Bradford, who was exonerated after serving nearly 10 years in prison for rape. And what you're hearing now is the song that Bradford wrote just a few months ago.